Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 8th. West Texas faces soot pollution crackdown. Biden administration tightens air quality standards, which may impact new factories and industrial plants. The story was written by James Osborne of the Houston Chronicle. West Texas is likely to soon face restrictions on developing new factories and petrochemical plants under tough new air quality standards announced by the Biden administration on Wednesday. Under the finalized standards, the threshold on fine particulate matter will be reduced to 9 micrograms per cubic meter from 12 micrograms. That would put the Houston, Austin, and Dallas areas, along with much of South Texas, into non-attainment status, forcing them to reduce pollution or risk losing federal funding, according to analysis by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Reagan said the move was necessary to protect against an epidemic of asthma and other health ailments caused by soot or particulate matter put into the air by everything from cars to oil refineries, preventing 2,400 premature deaths by 2032. Quote, "Healthy people equals a healthy economy," he said in a call with reporters. "We do not need to sacrifice lives to have a booming economy," end quote. The new National Ambient Air Quality Standards, first proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency last year, have drawn fierce opposition from business and industry along the Texas Gulf Coast and around the country. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimates that more than 500 counties across the country will fall into non-attainment, with many at the threshold, limiting the development of factories and industrial plants in heavily industrialized areas such as the Houston Ship Channel with its sprawling refining and petrochemical complex. Quote, "Tightening the NAAQS PM2.5 standard will grind permits to a halt for a large portion of our country," Martin Durbin, Senior Vice President for Policy at the Chamber, said in a statement. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and 18 other Republican attorneys general wrote to the EPA last year, claiming the new standard, quote, "lacks any meaningful scientific justification," end quote. Fine particulate matter is of increasing concern among public health organizations, which warn repeated exposure can lead to asthma attacks, cardiovascular damage, and developmental and reproductive harm. The American Lung Foundation reported last year that Houston's particulate pollution was rising and ranked 15th worst in the country. Quote, "When industry groups use these scare tactics to misrepresent the standards, remember the actual tens of billions of dollars in health benefit the soot limits provide and the people who will be alive because of it," said Doris Brown, a public health advocate and former president of the National Medical Association. Reducing soot pollution within cities like Houston, which serves as a transportation and industrial hub for the country, has proven difficult to achieve. A significant part of the difficulty is so-called background pollution, such as smoke produced by wildfires in California driven eastward and huge volumes of exhaust produced by cars and trucks passing through the city, said Steve Keene, president of the Greater Houston Partnership, which represents area companies. Quote, "Unfortunately, EPA's proposed discretionary rule tightening the PM 2.5 standards would hold regulated industry wholly responsible for lowering emissions, he said in an email. Continuing the quote, until policy changes can be made to address these outlying external factors and to consider localized impacts, the EPA should maintain the existing fine particulate matter standards, end quote. The EPA projects that by 2032, all but 31 counties in the United States will be in compliance with the new standard as the agency moves ahead on tougher regulations on car and truck pollution, along with coal plants. But those standards, once finalized, are expected to be litigated by industry groups and Republican attorneys general, and with the current makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, it's unclear whether they will allow the Biden administration the deference they might have granted past administrations in setting environmental standards. Students create junior board for food bank. Group aims to raise awareness in community. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Through a commitment to their community, 10 students at Trinity School in Midland created a junior board for the West Texas Food Bank. The group's goal is to advocate, fundraise, and raise awareness for the West Texas Food Bank. Events such as the upcoming Valentine's Day dance for Permian Basin High School students allow the junior board to explore new ways for young Midland-Odessa folks to impact their community, all while maintaining the food bank's mission. Caitlin Boyd, designated junior board party planner and vice president of executive review, and Ezekiel Bahomo, junior board vice president, spoke to the Reporter Telegram about the new project and what the group of young nonprofit entrepreneurs hope to achieve in their first year of service. Question: what separates the junior board from food bank leadership? Quote, the junior board was established as a result of the food bank's innovative and forward-thinking spirit. Although affiliated with the food bank, we are a fully self-sufficient body that runs activities and events independently without burdening the food bank. We set up our own events and are planning to host some corporate events for our sponsors later on, Bahomo said. Question: why was a junior board needed? Quote, it's important to the food bank because it is an extra outlet for communication with the community from a different demographic, the younger generation, Boyd explained. It's also essential to the food bank and community because teenagers are directly involved in serving their community. Usually people think that they need to be adults or much older in order to make meaningful impacts on their environment. The West Texas Junior Board shows that you can be a positive influence within the community, even just as a high schooler. We aim to inspire other teenagers to work toward aiding their community and working with impactful community organizations, Bahomo added. Question: how can other students join the board? Quote, next year, we plan on opening up the application process to other high schools in the Permian Basin, including but not exclusive to Midland High and Midland Legacy High Schools. Once the application is submitted, there is an interview process that will be conducted by the current members and a few representatives from the food bank, Boyd stated. Question: why is this something you wanted to be a part of? Quote, having lived in Midland for almost 11 years, I have a strong affinity for the city and region, and there is nothing more I would love to do than serve and aid the environment that has shaped me and helped me grow into who I am today. It is incredible working with the food bank, because they genuinely make such a significant impact in West Texas by distributing food to thousands of people over 19 different counties and working toward their goal of creating a West Texas without hunger, Bahomo admitted. The February 10th Valentine's Day dance will feature a DJ, photo booth, food from MD's Pizza and HEB, and over $1,000 in raffle prizes. Tickets can be purchased by visiting the group's Instagram page at WTX Food Bank JR Board. All proceeds go to the food bank. USPS considers upgrades to Midland facility. Community input sought during February 22nd public meeting. The story was written by B.K. Richter. The United States Postal Service will be conducting an evaluation of current operations and potential future uses of its Midland Processing and Distribution Center facility in Midland. According to a recent press release, the evaluation of operations is part of a $40 billion investment strategy to upgrade and improve the postal processing, transportation, and delivery networks within the region. The plan for the upgrades is a 10-year initiative called the Delivering for America Plan, or DFA Plan. The DFA Plan will include improvements that are said to enhance the level of service provided to the public, as well as create innovation and offer a large array of postal products and services. Quote, improvements to postal operations will enhance the level of service provided to the public, drive innovation, and enable a broader array of postal products and services, enhance organizational competitiveness, improve efficiency, and lower the cost to operate, and provide better workplaces and careers for Postal Service employees, the USPS press release stated. While the review of the Midland facility may improve customer service and present savings in cost from an operations aspect, business mail entry, post office, station, and branch retail services are not expected to change. Additionally, delivery services will be unaffected throughout the review process. Quote, the evaluation is a first step in the Postal Service review and investment process in this facility and will not result in this facility's closure or career employee layoffs, USPS wrote in its press release announcing the review of the Midland facility. Initial results of the facility review support not only keeping the Midland facility open, but also modernizing the facility as a local processing center. The regional facility will also offer expanded and streamlined package processing capabilities within the local market. Another part of the DFA plan highlights transferring some mail processing operations to the Amarillo P&DC. According to the USPS, this location change would mean a significant percentage of mail collected locally would travel across a wider USPS transportation and processing network more efficiently. Quote, mail and packages destined for outside the local area may receive better service and be more cost-effectively distributed by aggregating it with mail and packages from other areas going to the same places that will likewise utilize the wider postal network and be transported significant distances from where the mail originated, USPS stated. A public meeting is slated for Thursday, February 22nd at 3 p.m. at the MLK Jr. Community Center Auditorium, located at 2300 Butternut Lane. During the meeting, USPS will share the initial results of the study and allow members of the community to provide oral feedback and perspectives on the initial findings of the Mail Processing Facility Review. A summary of the Mail Processing Facility Review will be posted on about.usps.com at least 1 week before the public input meeting. Members of the local community may submit written comments at surveymonkey.com/r/MPFR-MidlandTX until March 8th. The public's input will be considered before a final decision is implemented. Cupid calling. From couples sword fighting to crappy messages to your ex, here's how to spend Valentine's Day. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Looking for something to do this Valentine's Day besides dinner? How about the days leading up? There are plenty of events and restaurants throughout the tall city offering a multitude of ideas for partners, friends, and family. From markets and block parties to fancy dinners and sweet treat specials, there's something available for all Midlanders to do to celebrate the 2024 season of love. For the girls, there's a wide list of Galentine's celebrations, while the animal shelters have a new stinky solutions up their sleeves for all of the exes. Here's a list of Valentine's Day options in Midland, Odessa for community members of all ages. Saturday, February 10th. Galentine's Pottery Night. Gather for a night of cocktails and clay work with your besties. All supplies are provided. Tickets cost $75 at LeslieClayStudio.com, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., 4610 North Garfield Street. Galentine's Self-Care Pop-Up and Market. Get your lashes done, brows waxed, a facial, enjoy shopping, hanging with the girls, and some delicious snacks and drinks. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., 4803 Plaza Boulevard, Suite 804. Sweetheart Sword Fighting. 2-hour class where couples learn the basics of medieval longsword combat and choreograph their own romantic duel to the death or a kiss. Admission $50 per couple. Arrive early for registration, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., 704 West Scarborough Drive. Valentine Card Workshop. For kids 12 and under, join Danny G. from KISS FM 103.3 for card-making workshop. All supplies provided. Noon to 2 p.m., 4101 East 42nd Street. Valentine Dance. The West Texas Food Bank Junior Board is hosting a Valentine's Dance and raffle for high school students in the Permian Basin. Tickets can be purchased by visiting the group's Instagram page at WTXFoodBankJRBoard, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., 2514 Arena Trail. Valentine Making Workshop. All ages are welcome to this free event using collages, stamping techniques, and printmaking at the Ellen Noel Art Museum in Odessa at 4909 East University Boulevard from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Sunday, February 11th. Be Mine Valentine Market. Over 40 vendors, food trucks, and live music will be on site. Every hour, a giveaway happens and free mimosas available while supplies last. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., 104 South Terrell Street. Tuesday, February 13th. Heart Wreath Painting. Head over to Curbside Bistro in Odessa for an evening of painting along with award-winning burgers, loaded fries, and more. Tickets cost $25. Go to facebook.com/curbsidebistro2014. 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., 3816 Andrews Highway. New U Med Spa. Snacks, drinks, door prizes, and giveaways happening at this Valentine's party. There will also be one-day-only specials on services, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., 3407 Caldera Boulevard. Wednesday, February 14th, Anti-Valentine's Paint and Trash Social. Hang out and create with fellow Anti-Valentine's fans in the safe place that is the Desert Hippie and Company, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., 2101 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 42. Cake decorating. Join the Golden Whisk at Hoop and Barrel for a couple's cake decorating class, featuring two cakes and all supplies for $120. 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., 3211 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 21. Movie moment. Enjoy a screening of The Princess Bride at the Museum of the Southwest Planetarium. Chocolate-covered strawberries, snacks, cider, and champagne available beforehand. Admission $15 per non-member couple. 6:30 p.m., 1705 West Missouri Avenue. Singles Mixer. Enjoy games, laughter, and a chance at romance this year at a singles-only event packed with snacks and sips to make the introductions easier. Tickets are $35 at www.dine-n-design.com. 7 p.m., John Ben Shepherd Parkway Boulevard. Sip House. Themed drinks and Love is in the Air decor will be on display. Speed dating will happen February 22nd, and Sip and Paint finishes out the month of love on February 29th. 303 West Wall Street. Skate date. CM Rink and Roll offers activities for the whole family and will have free bumper car rides with admission. 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., 4101 East 42nd Street. Valentine's Day Bingo. Head over to Soul City Brewing Company for a 21 and up evening of prizes and good West Texas craft beer. 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., 3303 West Golf Course Road. Valentine's in Valentine, Texas. Every year, the city of Valentine hosts a bog love-themed party at the old Mercantile, featuring tons of West Texas talent, good vibes, and delicious food and drinks from local vendors. Headlining this year's celebration is Jimmy Vaughn, an American blues rock guitarist and singer, four-time Grammy winner, and the brother of the late Texas blues guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughn. Jimmy most recently toured with Eric Clapton and was also the guitarist from the famous American blues band The Fabulous Thunderbirds. Additional acts include The Pulpit Ramblers, The Pecos River Band, Primo E. Bibi, and a special appearance by SheVerb. The event happens rain or shine, snow or swelter. Tickets and more info can be found at valentineinvalentinetx.com. And for the exes, just $5 can bring awareness to your crappy ex, best friend who wronged you, or even that in-law you can't stand. Let the Midland Animal Shelter Adoptables know their name, and it will place a name tag next to a large pile of him. All money goes toward shelter residents needing veterinary care.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 8th, 2024. Entertainment. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, February 9th through 11th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Connect with your inner energy. Head over to the Desert Hippie for their monthly Spill the Tea event, where fellow holistic, healing, and metaphysical believers gather in community. Inspiration and understanding flow through the building while Permian Basin practitioners teach and learn from one another. Due to limited space, tickets cost $1.11 and can be reserved by messaging the store on Instagram at The Desert Hippie and Company. Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., 2101 West Wadley, Suite 42. Enjoy local live music. Many venues and bars around town highlight local talent, especially on the weekend. Ree Wolf takes over the Blue Door with his soulful connections, while the Croakin' Toads show off their boot scootin' toot tunes at Hoop and Barrel. Jordan Robert Kirk bellows Country Heartache at the Double Bar Saloon. The Flair Tavern will also feature blues, rock, and oldies. No cover charge to get in at these locations unless otherwise specified. Double check for on-premises age requirements. Saturday, multiple times and locations. Pre-game, the Super Bowl with brunch. Looking for a way to up your Super Bowl Sunday? Maybe you want to get out of the house while your football-obsessed and Taylor Swift-hating partner preps for the game. The Midland Rose will host a $10 per person Super Bowl brunch with Pochops Munchie Shack. We'll offer free roses, $5 mimosas, $10 hookah, and $100 bottles. No ticket or reservation required. Sunday begins at 1 p.m., 3402 Thomason. What's Up in Midland This Month by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Arts Council of Midland, the open show, now through February 25th. At the Blue Door, Galentine's Pottery Night, Saturday. Fat Tuesday Celebration, February 13th. On Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location, every Saturday. At Golf Course Road Church of Christ, Food Truck Fridays, every Friday. At the Horseshoe, N.B. Rida's Valentine's Bash, Friday. Ray Lana's Spring Consignment, February 18th through 21st. Rig Zone Career Fair, February 21st. Sun County Region Volleyball Tournament, February 24th and 25th. At Midland Animal Services, Rescue Runners, every first and third Saturday. At Riley's Bar and Grill, Burgers and Bands, every Wednesday. At the Senior Center, Line Dancing Class, every Tuesday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia, every Tuesday. At Texas Sun Winery, live music with the Midland Airs, Friday. Paint Party, February 13th, 27th. Live music with Groove City, February 16th. Live music with CPR Acoustics, February 23rd. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Steve Trevino Good Life Tour, Friday. Chicago, February 14th. Wheel of Fortune Live, February 16th. The all-new 2024 Shen Yun, February 20th. Drum Tao, 2024, February 25th. Bluey's Big Play, February 28th and 29th. At the Waystone, Dice Minor Tournament, Thursday. Super Bowl, Saturday. Monthly Puzzle Race, February 17th.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 8th. Melba J. Clark Hansard passed away peacefully at her home Saturday, February 3rd. Melba was born in Crane, Texas, to Charles Alexander and Hazel Aberick Clark. Melba grew up in Midland, where she attended Midland High School. She met her best friend and husband of 49 years in Odessa. George and Melba were married in 1956. They nurtured a home and community alongside their four sons in La Mesa, Texas. They served faithfully as members of First Baptist Church La Mesa for more than 50 years. Melba is preceded in death by her parents, also by her brothers Edward Clark and Richard Clark, and husband Judge George H. Hansard Sr. She is survived by her four sons, George H. Hansard Jr. of Fort Stockton and his wife Stacy, Mark Hansard of St. Louis, Missouri and his wife Susan, Jeff Hansard of Midland, and Sam Hansard of Lubbock, as well as 10 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. Family will receive friends and loved ones Friday, February 9th, between 4 and 6 p.m. at Brannan Funeral Home in La Mesa. Services will be officiated by Brother Jim Medley on Saturday, February 10th at 10:30 a.m. at Dawson County Cemetery in La Mesa, Texas. The families suggest memorials be made to First Baptist Church of La Mesa or to a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the care of Brannan Funeral Home. To send condolences online, please visit www.brannanfuneralhome.com. Pamela Jean Babcock, age 52, passed away on January 25th in Abilene. A memorial service will be held in her honor on February 10th at 2 p.m. at Homeline Baptist Church in Midland at 3500 Annetta Drive. Carolyn Stovall Ryan, age 81, of Midland, passed away on Monday, February 5th in Midland. Funeral services will be held at 1:30 p.m. on Friday, February 9th, at Willowbrook Funeral Home, with Pastor Brad Smith officiating. Interment will follow at Rest Haven North Memorial Park in Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Maria Socorro Spencer, age 73, of Midland, passed away February 2nd. Memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, February 10th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, February 8th. Paxlovid can lessen the chance of a severe COVID-19 illness. Why is it underused? Tens of thousands of Americans are hospitalized with COVID-19 every week. Thousands die from it every month, and yet an antiviral treatment proven to lessen the chance of severe outcomes is going underused. The drug Paxlovid is lauded by experts as a powerful tool that can prevent hospitalization and death from COVID-19, but the high price and doctors' hesitation to prescribe the pills means the 5-day treatment isn't getting to everyone who would benefit from it. When you read in your local newspaper that in this hospital they've got this many COVID patients, most of them are preventable hospitalizations, said Dr. Amish Adalia, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins University, who sees Paxlovid as a useful tool to treat COVID-19. One Centers for Disease Control and Prevention study found that Paxlovid can decrease hospitalization risks among adults by 51%. The drug is recommended for older people and other adults with certain underlying conditions and can be prescribed for children as young as 12. When Paxlovid was first authorized for emergency use in the U.S. in December 2021, it was free for anyone who needed it. Once the government stopped funding the treatment, Pfizer set a list price of $1,390. The drug remains free for people on federal insurance programs like Medicaid and Medicare through the end of this year, and uninsured people also can get it for free. But many of those people must go through a patient assistance program run by Pfizer to get the discounts. People on commercial insurance with high out-of-pocket costs can also get financial aid through a separate copay assistance program. Independent pharmacy owners find Paxlovid is expensive to carry because of reimbursement rates from commercial insurers, said Kurt Proctor, a senior vice president at the National Community Pharmacist Association. If you're losing 5% on a $10 prescription, it's very different than losing 5% on a $1,400 prescription product, he said. The high list price also is turning off some patients. When Celise Ballow of Junction, Utah, got COVID-19 recently, she never got the medication. Ballow said her doctor declined to write her a prescription after telling her it wouldn't be covered by her insurance. Now she wonders if she could have avoided some of the infection's worst effects if she had been able to get the medication. I'm going on a month and a half, and I'm still having nebulizer treatments. I'm still exhausted, Ballow said. Another factor hurting uptake appears to be long list of medications that shouldn't be taken with Paxlovid. Many doctors may simply decide the risk of drug interactions isn't worth it. If people are on 4 or 5 different medications, it does tend to be a pain to double-check, is there an interaction here, said Dr. Sarah George, an infectious diseases professor at St. Louis University. Seeing a possible significant drug interaction tends to put a physician off from prescribing a drug, even if there's a workaround, she said. Paxlovid isn't the only antiviral medication for COVID-19. Merck's Lagevrio is another available pill, though it's proven to be less popular in the U.S. than Paxlovid. A third drug, Gilead Veklury, is given via infusion. The people most likely to benefit from Paxlovid are the least likely to get it in 2022, according to a recent study. The study by Harvard researchers found that Paxlovid was disproportionately given to Medicare patients with lower risk of severe infection. If it had been properly utilized, the author concludes, more than 16,000 COVID-19 deaths could have been prevented. Dr. Michael Barnett, a Harvard health policy researcher who co-wrote the study, said it shouldn't be that way. There are very few medications and very few patients whose potential medication interaction with Paxlovid is so severe that they're better off not taking Paxlovid, he said. Very few of them are important enough that it's a big risk to stop for a week. Good news! Odessa Rotary Club recognizes new Paul Harris Fellow Brooks Landgraf. The Odessa Rotary Club recently recognized its newest inductee, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, as a Paul Harris Fellow to the Rotary Foundation at their lunch meeting on Wednesday, January 31st at Odessa College. The Paul Harris Fellow recognition acknowledges individuals who contribute or have made contributions made in their name of $1,000 or more to the Rotary Foundation of Rotary International. In addition, the Rotary Club donates much-needed supplies and a check for $250 to the High Sky Children's Ranch as part of their Fifth Wednesday Fellowship and Service Initiative geared at supporting local nonprofit organizations. President Kim Ortega made the check presentation to representatives of the organization at that same meeting. Rotary, the world's first service club, is an organization of business and professional persons united worldwide to provide humanitarian service and encourage high ethical standards in all vocations and work to build goodwill and peace in the world. The Odessa Rotary Club was organized on March 3, 1938, and admitted to Rotary International on March 9, 1938. UTPB names Monica Tischnauer new executive director for the Shepherd Leadership Institute. Monica Tischnauer has joined University of Texas Permian Basin as the new executive director for the Shepherd Leadership Institute. Monica brings to SLI a passion for leadership, serving the community, and a love for West Texas. She will no doubt grow the Institute's programs to the community and help connect the resources of the Institute to other organizations, schools, and nonprofits. Senior Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Becky Spurlock, said in a news release. The Shepherd Leadership Institute is committed to serving UTPB students, faculty, staff, and the community. The Institute hosts established programming like the Distinguished Lecture Series and Leadership Training and founded the Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference. They recently embarked on a partnership with the Ellen Noel Art Museum to reimagine and reanimate the Presidential Archives, the release said. Tischnauer is a native Odessan. She graduated from Odessa High, attended Odessa College, and graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree from Texas Tech University. I served as the executive director for West Texas Gifts of Hope from 2014 through 2017, which is a nonprofit that serves cancer patients in 18 surrounding counties. In 2017 through 2023, I became the director for Discover Odessa at the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. Discover Odessa recruits conferences, meetings, and sporting events to bring visitors to the community and also markets all of the city has to offer, Tischnauer said. In a Facebook post, she said she loves the opportunities the Shepherd Leadership Institute offers to students and the community. We host events and offer programs that inspire, educate, and connect people to one another. It's exciting knowing these efforts will impact the Permian Basin in positive ways, Tischnauer said. As a fun fact, she added that when she was in high school, she was a part of a student delegation that attended a Lorenzo de Zavala youth legislative session in Austin. We met with state and local leaders to learn how the legislative process works. I was so inspired that I had a dream to become the first Hispanic female governor in Texas. Ha! That is no longer a dream of mine, but I know an experience like that one is where having dreams start, Tischnauer said. Comedian Cyrus Steele to perform live at Odessa Christian Faith Center. Get ready for a night full of laughter and fun at a family-friendly comedy night at Odessa Christian Faith Center On Friday, February 16th, Odessa Christian Faith Center is hosting an unforgettable evening of comedy with clean comedian Cyrus Steele. As a dynamic performer, Steele is quickly establishing himself to be a comedic force through his wit and hilarious celebrity impersonations. He covers everyone from Barack Obama to impressions of Kevin Hart and Donald Trump. Steele appeals to all audiences, old and young, with clean comedy and mining humor from his southern roots. Growing up in Savannah, Georgia, he has performed at many of the nation's best comedy venues, including the famous Apollo Theater. He was a top five finalist for HBO's Comedy Wings competition, a finalist for Steve Harvey's Stand-Up Spotlight, and winner of Fox's Wacky Talent competition. Cyrus most recently has performed for Fox's Showtime at the Apollo and NBC's America's Got Talent. The event kicks off at 7 p.m. with an after-party of great food and fellowship to follow. Tickets are on sale now at www.ocfc.org. $25 for general admission. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. or $35 for early entry. Doors open at 6:15 p.m. Spanish translation will be available and child care provided for $10 per child. Odessa Christian Faith Center is located at 9000 Andrews Highway in Odessa. Chevron to bring 750 employees and their families to Jackalope's Ice Wolves game. The competition will be fierce on the ice and also in the stands when the Odessa Jackalopes battle the New Mexico Ice Wolves at Ector County Coliseum on Friday night. Chevron, a sponsor of the Jackalopes, is bringing more than 750 employees and Chevron family members to the battle between teams from the North American Hockey League's South Division. It's a fitting game for Chevron employees to attend, given the company's operations span West Texas and New Mexico, and that fact has resulted in a wager between Chevron operations from both states that will raise the stakes for Friday's game, a news release said. If the Jackalopes win, Chevron will donate $5,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of the Permian Basin, which is based in Odessa and Midland. If the Ice Wolves win, Chevron will donate $5,000 to the University of New Mexico Comprehensive Cancer Center through the University of New Mexico Foundation in Albuquerque. In the end, of course, everyone wins, as the runner-ups organization will receive $2,500 from Chevron. We couldn't have picked a better game to bring our employees and families to, Chevron MCBU General Manager of Operations Bobby Hullett said in the release. I know we are going to have a competitive mix of Jackalopes and Ice Wolf fans in the stands who represent our Texas and New Mexico operations. And what better way is there to celebrate an opportunity like this than to give back to these two outstanding community organizations? Good luck to all. Game time is 7:15 p.m. For tickets or more information, visit the Jackalopes website or follow their updates on Facebook. Harmony Public Schools to host Permian Basin Math Competition. Harmony Science Academy will be hosting their second annual math competition from 9:30 a.m. to noon, March 2nd, at the Region 18 Education Service Center, 2811 La Force Boulevard, Midland. The Permian Basin Math Competition is designed to promote a competitive academic environment for mathematics. Students who participate in this competition will test their mathematical capabilities and be better prepared for middle school. This math competition will consist of 40 multiple choice questions from various math topics aligned to text, with 5 tiebreaker questions. The top 3 winners will receive prizes including a Dell Inspiron laptop, Tiny Hawk 3 FPV drone, and a Miko Mini AI robot. All students in grades 2, 3, and 4 in the Odessa and Midland area are encouraged to join this competition. Registration is free and open until 5 p.m. on February 25th. Harmony Public Schools are tuition-free, family-focused public charter schools providing a high-quality education with a focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM. Harmony is currently accepting applications for the 2024-2025 school year. Pfluger speaks in support of impeaching Mayorkas. U.S. Representative August Pfluger spoke on the U.S. House floor in support of the articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The impeachment proceedings of Secretary Mayorkas follow a year-long investigation conducted by the House Homeland Security Committee of the consequences of the crisis at the border. It is a sad day that we have to be here, but the framers of our Constitution forecasted that this could occur, and while we're going to hear that this is a policy difference, that this is maladministration, this is the systemic refusal to follow the law, to enforce the law. It's an egregious breach of public trust, and there is no other avenues here. There must be a consequence, there must be accountability, and that's why we're moving to impeach Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas for endangering our country. Anyone with common sense can see that what is being allowed to happen at our border is not only a catastrophe, but it's a national security crisis. 9 million illegal aliens have entered our country since President Biden has been in office, and 300 people have matched the terror watch list. It took less than 20 people to orchestrate the attack on 9/11, which sent me into 20 years of service to this country to protect us overseas, and yet we are letting the Trojan horse into our country that threatens us. We have a secretary who refuses to enforce the laws on the books. It's Congress's duty to ensure that the Homeland Department of Homeland Security is led by individuals committed to upholding the rule of law protecting our borders. The failure to secure the border has been so severe that we have to provide accountability. Not only is this a systemic refusal to follow the law, but it's also the systemic deconstruction of the rule of law that eventually will eat away at this country. I urge everyone in the House to do something that actually gets accountability, to impeach Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and to get our country secure. Obituaries, Dr. Joel Lee Adams. Joel Lee Adams was born in Odessa on April 12, 1937. Funeral service will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home, 6801 East Business 20, on February 12th at 11 a.m. The church is Westminster Presbyterian Church. Julia Cutbirth Nanny Holt. Julia Cutbirth Nanny Holt was born in 1945. The funeral will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home, 6801 East Business 20, on February 8th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Deidre Carlene Colmia. The funeral will be at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Carlene was born October 29, 1950 in Sweetwater. Jimmy Frank Finley. Jimmy Frank Finley, his celebration of life will be February 10th at 4 p.m. at Connection Christian Church. Tony Dwayne Hudson, 54, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 30th, Celebration of Life will be held at 11 a.m. February 10th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Sam Lee Jones, 91, of Odessa, died Friday, February 2nd in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. February 8th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Lorenzo C. Pinata, Sr. Lorenzo C. Pinata, Sr., 84, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 30th in Odessa. Celebration of Life will be held at 2 p.m. February 7th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Paula Skidmore, 80, passed away on January 23rd at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa. The funeral home is Starbuck Funeral Home, 201 Edwards Street, Merkle, Texas. Upcoming service, graveside service, February 10th at 1 p.m. at Rose Hill Cemetery.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 8th. Child-rearing philosophies clash in new relationship. Dear Abby, I have been in a relationship for more than a year. We met at the gym. We have similar interests and are both normally caring and loving to each other. We also have similar senses of humor. We moved in together too quickly after only 6 months. Our attempt at blending our kids and families has hit a lot of hard bumps. He is a very assertive and aggressive parent, while I'm the opposite. He has helped me with pointers and advice on taming my two boys' attitudes, and both have changed the attitudes they had before and are doing good. The problem is, my boyfriend has become controlling to the point that when anyone seems a little disrespectful or doesn't do what they were supposed to or told to do, he gets in the middle of it. When we have an argument, if we disagree on something, he curses at me and calls me names. This has become a deal-breaker for me. He says I spoil and coddle my kids, which is a deal-breaker for him. He always apologizes afterward, but then he does it again. This may seem obvious, but is this as clear as I'm thinking that we should break up? Signed, Somewhat Hopeless. Dear Somewhat Hopeless, because your gentleman, I use the term advisedly, friend, becomes verbally abusive when you have a disagreement, recognize that he continues to do it because it works for him. The example his behavior has set for your boys is atrocious. I'm pleased that you are thinking as clearly as you have been. Offer him the option of couples counseling. If he refuses, for your kids' sake, if not for your own, move out and move on. The person you're involved with isn't just aggressive as much as he is a bully. Dear Abby, my brother, who is 48, has mental issues. I have always tried to be there for him as much as I could, without interfering with his independence. Although he is antisocial, he isn't dangerous to anyone. He has low self-esteem and takes things literally. My parents have always been emotionally detached, but my brother has always craved Dad's acceptance. Because he felt that Dad favored me, he pushes me away and isolates himself. I have tried to stay in contact, and if I see him at the store, I speak to him, but he is so full of anger. Should I keep trying even though it's painful? I have tried telling him how I feel about the situation, but he lives in his own little world and can't relate to my feelings. I just worry that if he were to pass, I would feel guilty for not trying harder, but it makes it so difficult and painful. Signed, Facing Obstacles in Pennsylvania. Dear Facing Obstacles, you are a good sister, but for your brother's sake, as well as your own, it may be time to distance yourself emotionally from his mental problems. He may treat you the way he does because he is incapable of interpersonal relations, not because of anything you did or didn't do. Because you would feel guilty if you disengaged entirely, contact your brother every 6 or 8 weeks or so to check in. If you encounter him in a store, be polite. If he's angry or belligerent, back off, continue your shopping, or leave. Please don't take this as personally as you have. Your brother is unwell. You can't fix what's wrong with him. Follow your conscience, which is more than your parents have been doing, and forgive yourself for not being able to do more.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.